You're here now, and you're going to be visiting these seven. He began pointing to several marked spots within the forest. Locations. You have 6 days to make the entire trip.
What are we doing at these sites?
Velis asked, leaning forward with her eyes focused on the map.
These are sacred shrines to each of the seven gods of the Taos Pantheon. At each shrine, you will find a basin filled with purified water from the divine spring. Your objective on this mission is to drink from the water of each of the seven shrines and then return within the time limit.
Sounds too easy. Talion withheld his commentary for the moment, knowing it was not his turn to speak.
I take it this will be more than a simple stroll, Velis asked, leaning closer to the map and tracing a finger along one of the trails.
It will be up to you to determine a route that can get you to each of the shrines and back within the time limit. And yes, there are a few minor complications.
He leaned backward across the tent, tapping a fist on the side.
Gentlemen, please come in.
Talion heard shuffling outside, followed by the tent flap opening. Four young men, squires, Talion realized from their tabards and sigils, entered. Each was carrying a freshly polished steel cuirass.
Congratulations, candidates. You're being dressed in a paladin's armor for the first time. Stand and let the squires begin fitting you.
Talion and the other candidates stood, sharing pained looks. Hiking in armor was going to be a huge pain, which was, of course, the point. The squires set the cuirasses down on the nearby cots, retreating and returning with more armor pieces. Gambesons, steel vambraces and greaves, leather caps and chain coifs. Torrent continued to explain the mission while the squires assisted the candidates with putting on their new sets of armor. After the armor pieces had been put on, the squires helped the candidates move their pins from the earlier tests over to new tabards, which they wore over the armor.
You'll need to wear the armor during your travel. You'll each be given a travel backpack with minimal food supplies and water, as well as a bedroll. No tents. You'll sleep in structures you construct or beneath the stars. I'd advise the former, since it tends to rain in the forest, and you should expect it to be cold at the higher altitudes.
Grinning, Garrick stood up and pointed a thumb outside the tent.
Oh, and one of you is going to have to carry the pennant.
Talion rolled his eyes. At least we don't need to wear full helms. When each of the candidates was done being suited, the squires brought each of them a broader sword belt designed to be worn around their armor. Talion unfastened the sakes from his usual belt and attached the scabbard to his new belt alongside the standard steel sword it already carried.
That's fine if you want the extra weight, Torrent said. But if you should encounter any surprises along your journey, make sure to use the standard issue sword.
Oh, we're going to be ambushed as part of the test. Guess these standard swords are blunted? Got it. Talion nodded in understanding. That also helps to explain the armor. They couldn't hope to maintain barriers on us for this long of a trip, but a solid suit of armor should keep us safe from whatever practice weapons they plan to use on us. Now fully armored and wearing the sigils of the Taos Pantheon, Talion felt a stirring of pride looking at his comrades.
We finally look like paladins. Just a little longer, and we'll finally earn our place among them.
Talion's brief enthusiasm about his gleaming suit of armor quickly diminished as each step of the trail rubbed his gambeson against the bandages on his chest.
When I finish my training, I'm going to get my armor adjusted for a looser fit.
His next thought was, of course, that he could do that himself with a mere instant of effort, but using sorcery to loosen his armor felt somewhat like cheating.
Or maybe just using all the skills at my disposal.
He shook his head, resolving himself to go at least a day without changing the armor, both to save his pride and to give himself a chance to recover from the exertions of the last test. A nosebleed from the overuse of sorcery was never a good sign. Exhaustion began to take its toll long before the day ended. The forest's beauty was a brief distraction, but Velis led them at a rapid pace, wanting to ensure that they beat their requisite time with days to spare. Talion agreed with the strategy, even if his injury didn't.
They had little idea of what complications awaited them, and he suspected that a simple sparring match on the road would be the least of their worries. Landon was carrying the pennant, which displayed the symbol of the god of travel. He occasionally waved it from side to side, seeming enthusiastic to have the role of standard-bearer in spite of his lack of any audience.
"When do you suppose they'll hit us?" "I'm thinking toward one of the middle shrines, ones we've gotten complacent."
Velis ran a hand through her hair, frowning as she got her fingers caught in a tangle.
"From the way things have been going, they'll probably have a test at every shrine. If nothing else, the instructors like to be fucking thorough."
Talion twisted to adjust his armor slightly, but it did little to ease the pressure.
"Think they'll be subtler than that. The instructors know better than to come across as predictable at this point."
As they continued to walk, he caught sight of something ahead on the road. A silver-haired man was kicking the side of a fallen cart, a dislodged wheel clearly visible a few feet away. Assorted bags were strewn on the opposite side, having apparently fallen from the top of the cart when it had toppled. A pair of horses were lashed to the front, stamping impatiently. The cart itself was relatively small and uncovered, which looked somewhat unusual for a single traveler outside of a city.
"Okay, I take it back. This is pretty much the least subtle test I've ever seen."
Velis took one look at the situation and sighed loudly. The man looked up at the sound of their approaching footsteps. His mismatched gray and blue clothes were simple traveling fare accented by a gray hat with a single white feather. His immaculately trimmed silver beard and flowing hair hinted at a higher social class than a simple traveling merchant.
"Oh, paladins, thanks to the makers. I was quite nearly trapped here. Didn't realize how muddy the sides of the road were getting."
He stepped away from the cart, patting one of his horses as he approached.
"Forgive me for presuming. Would you be willing to help a weary man on his way?"
Velis stepped out in front of the group.
"Of course. We'd be glad to assist you." She turned toward the others. "Talion, Asphodel, you're with me. Landon, you're on lookout."
The older man just smiled. If he understood the implication of setting a watch, he said nothing. A quick glance didn't reveal any ambushers on the sides of the road, but something itched at the back of Talion's mind. He moved with Velis to reattach the wheel. To his surprise, the older man walked with them, wandering to within reach. A bad tactic if the man is bait. He would have been wiser to wait and watch from a distance. Reattaching the wheel took mere moments. It wouldn't have taken long even for one of the three.
"Ah, to have the strong back of youth again."
The silver-haired man smiled, folding his hands together as the wheel fell into place.
"Now comes the more challenging part."
Talion and Velis moved to the opposite side of the cart to lift, while Asphodel gripped where the wagon had lost the wheel to help stabilize it.
"Lift!"
Velis instructed. Talion strained, feeling the cart move immediately. Within moments, it had been righted. Once the cart was stable, Talion scanned from side to side, but there was no sign of theatrical assassins. Landon caught his gaze and gave him a shrug.
"Thank you kindly, lasses and lads. Afraid I don't have much that would be likely to interest a group of paladins such as yourselves."
He reached down, beginning to lift his fallen bags, and nodded in gratitude when Talion moved to assist him. As they worked, the older man's eyes caught sight of the hilt at his side, widening in surprise.
"Oh, my blessed stars. Is that blade what it looks like?"
"Oh, here comes the hook. I suppose I'll bite."
"To the best of my knowledge, sir. It was left to me as a child. I don't know why." The man finished lifting his last bag, turning back to Talion and narrowing his eyes.
"Ah, you must be Solaris, then."
Talion stepped back. If an attack was coming, that was probably the cue. But the old man made no hostile gestures. He simply smiled and lifted a hand to his chin, stroking his beard thoughtfully.
"What a strange wind that carried you into my path so soon. Auron has been encouraging me to visit you for some time, but I felt it was too soon."
"You know Commander Dire, sir?"
Velis asked, leaning against her staff, a quizzical expression on her face.
"Oh, aye.
I've known Orin since he was just a boy, much as I've known this child, the older man said, waving at Talion, though I told his parents to spell his name differently. Now they missed the point entirely. It was supposed to be Say, with an E, like the sword's name.
Talion raised a hand to rub his forehead, understanding, finally reaching him. You're Eric Tarin.
Quite right, quite right. You've grown quite a bit since I last saw you.
He glanced toward Landon.
And you as well, young Master Fierce.
Landon folded his arms.
I don't go by that name anymore, Master Tarin.
The older man waved a dismissive hand.
No need to call me Master, Larkin. You never studied with me. Although I do think I might have had more success at teaching you than Hartigan did. You, and the rest of you, may simply call me Eric.
It's really... Talion had a life's worth of questions to ask, but his mouth felt suddenly dry. Velis folded her hands in front of her.
Not to be rude, Eric, but we're in the midst of a test. If you're a part of that test, by all means, test us. But if not, we should be on our way.
A test, eh? No, no testing for me. One of your advancement tests?
Velis shook her head.
I should have mentioned this before, but we're not quite paladins yet. We're taking a placement exam of sorts.
Oh, of course, I'm familiar. I haven't been a part of one in many years. So no, I'm not a part of your test.
Landon furrowed his brow.
You'll just walk in the middle of nowhere, when you're the most famous master of teleportation sorcery on the continent. Call me somewhat skeptical, Eric.
The older man sighed.
Believe what you want to, Larkin. You did me a kindness, test or not, and I thank you for it. In regards to my sorcery, I could quite obviously have teleported directly to Velthrin, but then I would not have walked this path and learned its ways.
Talion nodded at that. You need to see a location to know how to teleport there in the future, unless you have a beacon.
Quite right. I am pleased to see your parents had you educated, even if they did not name you quite correctly.
Velis scratched the back of her head.
As interesting as it is to meet a legendary sorcerer, we do have a limited amount of time.
Yes, yes, of course. Be on your way. I would not want to infringe on your testing any more than I already have.
Talion frowned, shaking himself out of his paralysis.
Wait, I have questions.
Tarin smiled at him.
Ah, yes. Orin said as much. But are you sure we should be delaying your friends?
I'll catch up. Velis frowned, folding her arms.
Talion, now is not... Talking to Eric is half the reason I'm taking this test in the first place. I don't want to be rude, Velis, but... Wait. Better idea.
He shook his head.
Landon, do you still have the map?
Landon shrugged.
Of course.
Eric, would you be willing to teleport us a short way toward our next destination after we're done talking?
The older man smiled and nodded.
Of course! You saved me hours! It would be quite fair for me to do the same for you.
Talion glanced at Velis.
Would it be acceptable for me to spend a bit of time talking to Eric if... Shit, yes! If he can save us hours of walking, you talk as much as you want. We'll even give you two some privacy.
Talion took a deep breath of relief.
Thank you, Velis. You could call me ma'am. I'd like that.
Talion rolled his eyes. Thank you, ma'am.
Oh, I could get used to that. Asphodel, Landon, come on. Let's sit over there.
The silver-bearded man frowned.
Landon? Is that his new name?
Talion nodded.
He's been going by that for as long as I've known him, which I admit hasn't been all that long. Maybe a year.
I'm glad to see he has good companions. His life was a lonely one as a youth.
Eric folded his arms.
But I suspect that's far from your mind. I've been quite rude. I know you've been seeking me for some time, but I never sent a reply to any of your messages. It would seem that fate has forced the issue.
Talion folded his arms.
Why were you avoiding me? Even if you didn't want to come meet me in person, you could have sent Orin something a little less evasive.
I could have, I could have. But there were risks, you see. Risks that we are taking by speaking even now. Your life is one that will be carefully watched, and with great interest.
Watched? The forest-eyed man.
You believe whoever is watching me could be dangerous? Talion shifted his footing restlessly.
Oh, quite. And now that we have made contact with one another, you must be vigilant in defending yourself, and those you care for.
I will be, but why is our meeting significant?
Because it will be construed as an intervention on my behalf, one I should not be taking. Beings as old as I must abide certain rules.
Because you're immortal?
Among other things. But you dance around the questions you wish to ask. Ask them.
Talion nodded.
Who am I? And who were my parents?
Good. I can tell you only what I know, and I fear it may not be enough for you. You were given to me by a man I knew as Vel. You would know him best as Eindarin, the god of blades.
Talion drew in a sharp breath, his right hand moving over his chest.
I do not know if he was your father. When he came to me, he was badly injured, perhaps fatally. I do not know if he survived. He bid me take you, along with his legendary blade, and run. And so I did.
The older man sighed, casting his gaze at the dirt.
Perhaps I should have kept you and raised you, as he undoubtedly wished. But that would have meant years of running. Years of fear. I doubt my heart could have withstood that, and fear should not be a child's first memory.
So you gave me away.
Talion closed his eyes.
To my great shame, I did. I knew a family that had long sought a child of their own, and so I brought you to them. A gift and a curse. And from that point, you know as much as I.
Talion shook his head, opening his eyes. And of my true mother? Eindarin said nothing?
To be clear, he said little beyond, take the boy and run. Give him this when he is ready. I can presume that if he is the father, his wife was the mother. A simple enough equation. Vel was a loyal man, and quite deeply in love.
Eindarin was married?
The swordsman gave Taran a quizzical look.
I've never heard anything about Eindarin being married.
Of course not, because Karasalia refused to join the Teos Pantheon.
The old man sighed, seeming to deflate somewhat.
Perhaps if she had, things would have gone differently. But I cannot put any blame on Kara. In fact, perhaps she was right all along.
Right? About what?
I stray into dangerous topics, Solaris. Ones we should not speak of now, but there will be time later. We have seen one another now, and the wheel has been spun. Should you survive the coming days, seek me out at Winterspire Mountain. There I will teach you more.
Talion frowned. Where is Winterspire? I've never heard of that.
Far to the north. Your Dalaran friend will know the place. I have a home in Willsbrook, a small town near the base of the mountain. This is not another test, I assure you. It will be easy to find, though the journey may be long.
Would it not be easier to simply meet me in Velthrin? I should be headed there after I finish here.
By the time you finish your tests, I will have likely come and gone. I cannot tarry away from Winterspire for long.
Talion rubbed his head. Was this it? He was certain he had more questions, so many more questions. But the weight of the greatest answer had pushed them beneath the surface of his mind.
We should go see your friends. We've been rude in keeping them waiting so long, and any advantage I give you is rapidly diminishing.
But wait, I suppose you're right, he heard himself say, though they were not the words he wished to speak.
Eric nodded once, turning to head toward where the other candidates awaited them a short distance down the road. Talion found himself paralyzed for several more moments before he finally raised his hand.
Wait!
Eric turned his head.
Hmm? I have a question for a friend. Do you know anything about a woman named Lydia Hastings? Or her mother, perhaps? Maya Hastings?
Eric recoiled as if struck.
Lydia? You know. Of course you would. I've been inattentive for too long.
Well, that wasn't vague or anything.
So you know her?
Taran nodded. Yes. And you are kind to ask about your friend, but her answers must not come from you. I will speak to her when it is the proper time.
Like you did with me? Talion folded his arms. I don't mean to be rude, Eric, but you seem to have a pattern of avoiding giving people the answers they're looking for. The old man stood up straighter, and for an instant the light of the forest seemed to swell around him.
Do not presume to judge me, boy. You are right to ask questions, but you do not know me, and your arrogance tries my patience.
Talion was not cowed by the display, but he recalled Garrick's earlier words. You have a problem, Talion. A consistent problem. You always want to solve everyone else's problems for them.
Gritting his teeth, Talion nodded. I apologize, and thank you for the answers you have given me.
Taran nodded.
Good. I accept your apology, and I will expect better of you in the future. Now, you were asking a question on behalf of Lydia Hastings. Is she within the city of Eltharin now?
Better. To the best of my knowledge, she should be. Ask at the Citadel. They should know where to find her.
An odd expression crossed Taran's face. Confusion, perhaps.
She is a paladin, then? Or a priestess?
A paladin, of Cytira.
The gray-haired man chuckled, stroking his beard.
Ah, yes. Cytira, of course she would be.
Shaking his head, Taran gestured for Talion to follow, and this time he complied.
Come! Let us meet with your friends. It is past time for you to be on your way.
They found the others just a moment ahead on the road, barely out of sight from the cart. Velis looked up, smirking.
Gods, that took you long enough, Sal. I was about ready to take a nap.
Forgive the delay, miss. Talion had many pertinent questions for me.
Oh? You tell him how to get his sword to work?
Talion blinked.
The sword? Of course I should have asked him about the sword.
Also, that was probably a euphemism,
but Reshet, she's right. I should have asked him about the Sekas.
Taran turned his head toward Talion.
You have been having some difficulty in wielding the Sekas?
Talion nodded.
I can only control 5 of the runes.
Taran blinked.
Control? What do you mean?
Talion took a step back, drawing the sword and concentrating. One by one, the first 5 runes ignited, bathing the blade in an azure glow.
Oh dear, I do believe you've been wielding that incorrectly.
Talion sheathed the blade.
What do you mean?
It's not meant to... This may be difficult to explain. All 7 runes should be lit by default. It should require no effort on your part.
Talion folded his arms.
I can assure you that has not been the case.
That is truly fascinating. When Endarin had the weapon, it shined brightly within his grasp. He never spoke of it taxing his strength. In fact, it still glowed even when he put it down.
The swordsman frowned, redrawing the sword and repeating the process. He noted that Asphodel was watching with undisguised interest. She was the only one of his companions who had not seen him training with the weapon extensively. Once the runes began to glow, he laid the sword on the dirt, and the instant he released his grip, the runes faded. The distortion field around the blade widened dangerously, the newly manifested edges annihilating nearby rocks and grass.
Now, Eric mumbled, that is fascinating.
Talion retrieved the weapon and sheathed it a second time.
Any theories, at least?
No time to formulate a theory, but a mere hypothesis. The sword does not appear to be working as it did before. Thus, the simplest explanation is that it is damaged.
Damaged? How would that be possible?
Taran seemed to consider that, scratching at his neck.
An artifact can often be damaged by an equally powerful artifact. It could be that your weapon is leaking the essence that normally powers it, and thus it needs external essence to make it function properly. But I can think of no artifact powerful enough to deal damage to that blade.
There is no weapon comparable in the known world.
Velis quirked an eyebrow.
What about the Heartlands?
After a moment, she added,
Or Cessius, or the Valian. That should be the Talion's direct counterpart, yes?
Valian's weapon was never a match for the Sakes. It was his skill that made him Andarin's match, or more than his match in the end.
Talion's eyes narrowed.
Is that who?
Eric shrugged. I don't know. I only have my suspicions. But in regards to your sword, I can only say this much. You have earned my curiosity, and I will examine it if you bring it to my home.
Talion nodded. All right. I've taken enough of your time. Let's be on our way. Landon breathed a sigh of relief.
Good.
He had unfurled the map on the road, and he pointed to a spot directly adjacent to the first shrine they had decided to visit. Taran nodded.
Ah, the shrines, of course. Yes, I can manage that. You will want to join hands. Do you have all your things?
After making certain everyone had retrieved the last of their belongings, the four paladins joined hands and formed a circle. Eric Taran stepped into the center of the circle, raising his arms to the sky.
Makers of the sky and stone, hear my call. Carry these four on your wings to the next marker on their path.
The world shifted and blurred around Talion for a disorienting instant, and then his surroundings had changed. They were still within a forested area, but the chill in the thin air told him that they were at a higher altitude. The cavern nearby was no doubt the first shrine, but that was not the first thing he noticed. The first thing Talion noticed was the smell of vomit carried by the wind. It was a moment later that he saw the gleam of steel on the floor of the cave. Velis moved first, bringing up her quarterstaff in a defensive stance and spinning around to search for attackers. Steel leapt from sheaths as the paladins shifted from their inward-facing circle to a back-to-back formation, but they saw no sign of any impending attack. There was only a voice, a quiet voice coming from within the cave.
Please, help me.
The cracking words were punctuated by a hacking cough, and Talion broke from their formation to rush toward the entrance.
Talion, stop!
Talion paused, his few seconds of movement having taken him close enough to see the fallen bodies, unmistakably wearing paladin armor, within the cave. One figure remained in a seated position, his back against the wall, holding a hand to his throat, his blonde hair caked with sweat. There was a puddle of vomit at his feet.
Jonathan Sterling,
Talion recognized. The man continued to cough, his eyes fluttering.
There's someone alive in there!
Talion called back to the group, turning his head back to see the others rapidly approaching. Velis shook her head.
You need to slow the fuck down right now, Talion. This has trap written all over it.
Talion nodded, stepping back toward the group and falling back into formation.
She's right. That was reckless. This is probably still part of the test. It has to be.
Sterling turned his head toward them.
Velis, that you? Shit! Help me out here.
He broke into another fit of coughing. Velis reached into her pack.
Eyes open. Watch around me for a sec.
Talion scanned the area as she instructed, keeping his blade at the ready, but he saw no other sign of attackers.
Sterling, is it clear in there?
The man nodded.
Poisoned. Fuck. Can't believe I'm...
More coughing. Talion glanced back to Velis, finding her retrieving the rune-marked stick from her pouch.
This might be part of the test, but I'm not taking that risk.
Talion nodded.
Agreed.
Velis cracked the stick in the center and stabbed the broken pieces into the dirt. Talion hadn't been with her when Torrent had discussed the activation method, but that method seemed logical.
Okay,
Velis began.
We can't count on help getting here any time soon, especially since we just took another teleport. That could have disrupted this thing. I'm going in the cave to talk to Sterling and check his injuries. Landon, get out your bow. Anything suspicious moves, shoot it. Talion, you cover the cave entrance. Asphodel, you're Landon's melee support.
The candidates moved quickly, with Talion following behind Velis as she approached Sterling, as Landon unfastened his bow from his backpack and began to string it.
fucking poison.
Sterling looked pale, and his face was covered with sweat.
Coward's weapon.
As Velis knelt down by Sterling's side, Talion recognized one of the fallen as Eridus, his emaciated body encased in a tomb of mail.
Fuck.
Talion's hand tightened into a fist. He turned to watch Velis and Sterling, noting that Velis had strategically put her boot on top of Sterling's fallen scabbard.
She's not taking any risks. Good.
What happened? Velis put her hand on Sterling's forehead and grimaced.
Got here just a half hour or so ago. A couple people from Platoon 1 were just leaving when we arrived. Cheered us on. Thought we were making great time.
He coughed again, smirking.
Took our drinks from the sacred spring. Turns out sacred takes poison just like anything else. Turns out the others hadn't quite left either.
He raised a hand weakly, pointing to Eridus.
He was trying to treat me when Crimson put an arrow in him. Right at the neck. Fucking never thought we'd actually wish we were wearing gorgets. They're always such a pain in the ass.
Eridus. Shit. A water sorcerer might have had a chance to save them. But without him...
Velis nodded.
He was brave.
Brave? Don't mean shit when you're choking on your own blood.
Sterling lowered his head.
You ain't got a healer with you, do you?
I have a medical kit. No sorcery to help, though. I'll see what I can do.
Better with that than not, I guess. But my odds don't look great. Might be better that you go catch the fuckers that did this.
Velis nodded.
We'll talk about it, but I'm going to see what I can do for you first. Do you think anyone else might be alive?
I don't think so.
I'm sorry.
I wish I...
You did what you could. One more question. How many of them were there?
Just two.
Sterling closed his eyes.
Just two of them. And they completely overwhelmed us. Crimson and the Wandering War.
Velis nodded, looking as if a suspicion had been confirmed in her mind. Talion swept the area nearby with another glance. There was a lot of tree cover, but no signs of anyone still lying in wait. Landon and Asphodel were slowly approaching the cave entrance, and Landon now had a bow in hand. His arrows were in a quiver on his right hip. The pennant was resting against a tree nearby.
Crimson did seem suspicious from the start, and Wandering War seemed almost too suspicious. God, I really hope this is still a test. Please make it be a test.
A growing feeling of nausea was building in Talion's stomach. He raised a hand to rub his head in a feeble effort to stave off the sensation.
Shit. Must be teleportation sickness. I didn't even think about that.
I... don't...
Sterling coughed again.
I don't think you're going to do much to help me if you don't have a sorcerer with you.
We'll get you help.
Velis frowned, slipping off her backpack and retrieving her medical kit.
You're a Haven Knight, right? Don't close your eyes.
Sterling nodded.
Yeah, I was. Why?
I'm from House Jaldan. You know what that means. We're the best healers.
The best healers? Yeah, I guess that's true.
Sterling's gaze began to falter. Velis slapped him, jolting the man awake.
You need to keep your eyes open. I'm going to need a few more minutes to prepare something. You need...
Velis coughed into her hand, shaking her head.
You'll need to drink this when I'm finished with it. It's going to make you throw up.
Lovely,
he smirked.
Just like a bad night of drinking, eh?
She nodded.
Yeah, except last time we went drinking, you didn't throw up at all. It was the ring, yeah?
He raised his right hand, displaying a ring.
Probably the only reason I'm alive.
He chuckled.
It was just a trinket. Not made for handling real tough poisons. Just a trinket for winning drinking contests. I never thought...
You're very lucky you had it.
Velis turned her head toward Talion, who was shuffling his feet uneasily.
You want to go catch those fuckers?
Talion nodded furiously.
Sterling, how long ago did the other two leave, and which way did they go?
He shook his head.
Couldn't have been long. I mean, I don't think... Maybe 10 minutes? Seemed like they were in a hurry.
He frowned.
They looked like they were headed on the path downhill, back toward where you came from. You shouldn't split up, though. Gotta leave me here if you want to go after them.
They can handle it. Only two of them? I'll send two of us.
Velis turned back to Talion.
Take Asphodel and head down the road. Hopefully she can use her oracle powers to find them or something. Don't take any risks. If you have to kill them to save yourselves, do it.
This is bad. This is the wrong move, isn't it? But what should we do?
Talion nodded.
Yes, ma'am.
Velis and Landon will be fine, won't they? They can handle themselves, even if Susan and Wandering War wrap back around.
He shook his head, which swam for an instant as he moved.
Shit. I need to be careful. This travel sorcery sickness might be a problem. I'll need to walk it off.
The swordsman jerked a thumb toward the road while facing Asphodel.
You good to go?
She nodded.
We will catch them.
Well, at least someone is confident.
The sick feeling in Talion's stomach did not improve as he raced with Asphodel down the trail. It only worsened. Still, he pressed on, the pain from his side fading into the back of his mind as he focused on a single goal, smashing Susan Crimson and the Wandering War with overwhelming force. Minutes passed, the forest around them thickening into walls. Though the path appeared to be well-traveled, he could see the fragmented ruins of abandoned stone structures among the trees. The forest had retaken the majority of its territory long ago. Asphodel froze in her tracks, her eyes narrowing. Talion turned, breathing heavily from a combination of exertion and the growing tension in his muscles.
Continue down the path. We part ways here.
Asphodel turned to the right, stalking off the road into the forest.
That doesn't seem wise.
I am following Crimson. Her path broke from his here. She has laid several traps. You will only slow me down.
She spoke in a tone that brooked no argument, but Talion was tempted to follow her regardless.
She trusts in her visions, even knowing that they only represent a possibility. But I suppose that's still more information than I have at my disposal.
Shaking his head, Talion whispered an old saying.
Lissari, keep her healthy.
And continued on his own path. The tree cover grew thicker, blotting out much of the dawnfire's light. He passed a stream, tempting him to stop and drink, but he pressed on. He knew that his enemy could choose to abandon the road or meet with allies at any time. His heart was pounding when he came upon a marker in the trail. 3 paladin practice blades embedded in the dirt on the side of the road,
like unmarked graves.
The 3-inch blade that flashed out from the tree line grazed the left side of his face. Talion drew his practice blade, not bothering to assess the wound. The pain was insubstantial, distant.
Sharpen!
The blade's edges shifted into a closer facsimile of a standard weapon, though he could feel that the metal itself was a lighter grade of iron. A cloaked figure emerged from the woods, moving to the center of the road.
I am disappointed, the Wandering War intoned, his voice rich and full. I did not even wait to flank you, and yet you still missed the throne knife. Are you unwell?
More than a bit, but I'm not going to show him that.
That trinket wasn't even worth deflecting, Talion smirked. I hope you've brought something a little more substantial. The cloaked figure made a sweeping bow.
But of course.
The 3 paladin blades tore free from the dirt, hovering to float behind the Wandering War and reorienting themselves to point toward Talion.
Well, that's one time I really shouldn't have said anything.
The Wandering War flicked his arm toward Talion. The swords followed his command. Talion's sword smashed the first blade to the side, but it simply floated nearby, beginning to reorient itself as he struck at the second blade.
Shatter!
He commanded the metal of the opposing blade as the swords met, but the meeting of weapons was too brief, his command incomplete. The third sword's blade struck the left side of his breastplate, scraping harmlessly across the plate as it flew past him. He was already rushing off the road when the blades came again, giving him no time to pause for thought. He deflected one with his left bracer while sweeping the second's blade into a nearby tree, pinning it in place. Even as he brought his blade back to parry the third, he noted the entombed sword wiggling in place, as if struggling to free itself of its own accord. The third blade swept at Talion's upper legs, which were covered only by a thin layer of mail. He raised his right greave to block the attack, successfully deflecting it, but fell backward from the force of the impact and landed in a sitting position on the dirt. The wandering war had not noticeably moved. Frustrated, Talion awaited the first blade's next swing, snatching it out of the air with a gloved hand. The practiced blade's blunted edges did his hand no harm, though it remained in motion, pushing with unseen force toward his throat. "Ball," he commanded the blade. This time it responded, although with hesitation, and the iron blade separated from the hilt, shifting into a sphere. The hilt fell harmlessly to the dirt as Talion reached back to throw the ball, but the third sword swept down too quickly, interrupting his attempt. He was forced to raise his bracer again to block the swing, and then swung his own sword in an awkward arc, missing the floating blade entirely. The wandering war laughed, beginning to walk closer. Talion stood, stumbling backward, as the last floating blade swished in front of him, deflecting it and hurling the iron ball at the wandering war. The cloaked figure raised his hand again, and the ball paused in midair and then fell harmlessly to the ground. "That's not even fair. What kind of rushing sorcery is he using?" The last floating sword swung again, but Talion was more than ready this time. He locked his blade against it in a push, giving him more than enough time to issue a command to the metal. "Shatter!" The blade fractured like glass, spilling across the dirt. Talion didn't advance directly on his opponent. Instead, he stepped back off the path to grasp the blade of the second of the floating swords, which was still working its way free from the tree. He was tempted to try to use it as a secondary weapon, but the Wandering War had clearly exerted some kind of sorcerous control over the weapons, making the sword too much of a risk. "Separate!" The blade split into pieces, large enough that Talion could easily reassemble them into a weapon, but too small to be individually dangerous. This would give him an option for a fallback weapon if the Wandering War seized control over his current sword.
"That was an improvement, but still hardly sufficient to warrant the whispers I've been hearing. Where's that bravado you demonstrated in the earlier tests? I want to see blades of fire, swordsman. This is nothing."
"What's the point of this baiting?" Talion coughed, his head still swimming. He suppressed the urge to vomit, taking his weapon in a two-handed grip to stabilize it and shifting into the terrace low blade stance. "I'm missing something vital." The cloaked figure audibly laughed, adjusting his cloak to reveal the red runed blade he had displayed during their last encounter.
"If you insist upon curtailing your abilities, I suppose I will have to force you to take this more seriously."
The Wandering War raised the sword into an unfamiliar high stance, his elbows raised to shoulder level, the flat of his weapon parallel to the dirt. Six more swords appeared in the air around him, phantasmal blades enshrouded in blue-green fire. Talion moved first, releasing his left-hand grip to grab his right bracer and issue a command, "Shift into knife." The metallic portion of the bracer reshaped itself, and he hurled the short weapon through the air, but the Wandering War brought down his blade in a heavy strike, severing the metallic blade in twain and sending the pieces flying to either side of his body. Then the flaming blades were moving, and Talion was falling back. If he's controlling these manually, he can't possibly maneuver six weapons with any degree of finesse. He managed to make it to the other side of the road before the first blade came into reach. As before, he swung the practice blade to meet his attacker, planning to dismantle it with his strike. His own blade split in twain as it struck the hovering weapon, with no sense of steel entering his mind. The enemy blade continued in its arc, its flames coming close enough to singe his hair as he stumbled backward to avoid the cut. "They're not metal at all. They're like Keldon's swords, only on fire. I can handle that." Talion hurled the remaining half of his sword at the Wandering War, but it didn't come anywhere close to hitting. He hadn't expected it to. It merely bought a momentary pause while his opponent stepped back, and the floating swords ceased their motion. Well, that's one minor plus. They're not sentient,
he has to command them, and he can be distracted.
The Sakess sang as he wrenched it from its sheath, meeting the next two flaming blades with heavy two-handed strokes. Each strike seemed to break away at the essence of the floating weapons. Their flames diminished somewhat, and their blades showed cracks from the impact.
Ah, excellent. The entertainment can begin in earnest.
Six more swords appeared around the wandering war, floating in a slow circular pattern.
Oh, you have to be fucking kidding me.
The swords moved. Talion was a whirlwind of silver, slashing each blade apart as it drew near. Metal or not, with each stroke, he felt their essence more strongly, and that familiarity formed a map in his mind. The trajectory of each weapon, the timing of its approach, the necessary vector to deflect each incoming projectile. With a sweep, he slammed two blades into each other, roaring triumphantly as they split into shards and dissipated. A third blade went unnoticed as he roiled in the momentary triumph, the sword slashing across his left thigh and tearing through mail and flesh alike. The skin around the laceration burned from contact with the spectral fire. Talion fell to a knee as he processed the wound, deflecting the next two blades.
Shit, that's bad,
he processed, seeing his blood draining from the wound. The phantasmal flames had not cauterized the wound, and while it had not struck anywhere vital, the injury would limit his mobility. A second blade slipped through, taking a chunk from his right ear and grazing his neck. He felt the hint of heat from the blue-green flames as they licked close, but he instinctively deflected them with his own flame-shaping, feeling a chill as the sorcery extracted its toll.
I need to make forward progress. He's forced me completely onto the defensive.
Grabbing another weapon was out of the question. He couldn't count on being able to wield it the way he had with Keldon's stolen blade, since the Wandering War seemed to have some way to mentally control the blades.
What's he using? Motion sorcery? Blade sorcery? Some combination of the two? I need to focus. What can I use?
As the Sakess parried the next stroke, he felt the non-metal blade and the surrounding flames, imprinting them in his mind. He sensed that the blades were composed of something similar to what Keldon had used. The flames were distinct. They were neither true flame nor raw heat, but he sensed a familiarity within him, something akin to the dominion that pulsed in his blood. As the next blade approached, he pressed the Sakess against it, caressing the flame within his mind, and through it, sensing its counterparts.
Consume the blades within.
The flames obeyed his command, and the floating swords melted into nothingness. Talion smirked, pushing himself awkwardly to his feet. The Wandering War let out a deep laugh, lowering his sword to softly clap his hands.
Splendid! I knew I sensed a kinship within you. I will be interested to see how deep that runs.
Talion shifted the blade of his sword to his left side, facing away from him, allowing it to hover near the sheath. The Aaron instant striking stance was Lydia's favorite technique, employed to end duels in a single stroke. It was not Talion's favorite style. However, it was one of few he could manage when he was barely capable of standing.
I still don't know exactly what his skill set is, or even exactly what I just did. I can't afford to let him get within striking range.
The Wandering War moved forward purposefully, still 10 yards distant, and then 5, still far outside of sword reach, but not outside of the reach of another weapon.
Chain!
The Sakess's blade shifted in shape, the portion near the hilt shifting into a long chain while the last foot of the sword remained a deadly blade. He moved to swing the chain into motion even as the weapon was transforming, lashing out like a whip while the Wandering War calmly lowered his own weapon into a parry. The chain wrapped around the Wandering War's blade and Talion sensed true metal, as well as the presence of foreign dominions within that metal.
Shatter!
He commanded the rune-etched sword, but it did not respond to his command. This was no surprise. He had seen the same effect when he had attempted a similar tactic with the Heartlance. Fortunately, this time he had a fallback plan.
Wrap!
He commanded his own sword, not the enemy blade, and the length of chain that had caught the wandering war's sword began to flatten and expand across the surface, encapsulating it in a shell that Talion could affect. The wandering war shifted his grip, attempting to pull Talion toward him, but Talion braced with his good leg and held fast. Laughing again, the wandering war released his grip on his own sword, and it vanished into nothingness. As Talion's chain blade fell to the dirt, the wandering war's sword reappeared in his hands.
Shit, that's rather unfair.
Return. The chain retracted, shifting back into the usual form of the Sakess's blade. Only four of the runes were glowing on the surface. The swordsman grimaced. I suppose it's time to take this a little bit more seriously. Talion passed the blade to his left hand, closing his eyes and concentrating, feeling the essence flow toward the blade. When his eyes reopened, all seven runes glowed brightly on the surface.
Well, he cracked a smile. It looks like the gods are finally on my side.
Interesting. The wandering war tilted his head to the side. I had been informed you were not capable of doing that.
I try not to let my enemies know every little detail.
Talion shifted into a high stance, the Salian slaying style. With his opponent in a similar stance, their next exchange was likely to be deadly, but he could see little alternative. Defensive fighting had put him at a continuous disadvantage, and his strength was rapidly waning. Now that the wandering war had seen him use the instant striking style, it was unlikely to work again.
I need to know what I'm up against here. I can't devise better tactics without better information.
So before I, you know, cut you in half, it seems prudent for me to ask why you've been murdering the other paladin candidates. My paperwork is going to be a nightmare.
The wandering war paused in his approach, folding his arms.
Is that what you wish to speak of? Truly, your concerns are for the fallen?
That would be my principal reason for being here, yes.
The cloaked figure tilted his head to the side.
I had hoped you had anticipated this conflict with as much desire as I, but perhaps it was vain of me to hope. As for your question, I was but a mere observer in the massacre that occurred a moment ago. I draw so little strength from treachery that it is of no consequence.
Talion frowned. Well, at least I've got him talking. Maybe I should cauterize this wound while I have a second. Or, on second thought, resh that idea. I'm never doing that again.
Even if you simply observed, you're still responsible for the deaths of those people.
Why?
The wandering war shrugged.
I simply do as I am commanded by he who brought me to this world.
He who brought me to this... Oh, fuck me. His title is literal. He's a harvester of war.
And who summoned you then? The wandering war laughed again, shaking his head.
You are in no position to demand such an answer, cousin. Now, if this talk has been sufficient for you, shall we bask in the joyous harmony of our blades?
Yeah, we could do that. He narrowed his eyes.
I probably could have found a more poetic retort than that.
The harvester rushed forward, leading with a heavy downward cut. Talion answered by sidestepping to the left, though the shift in his weight sent a fresh surge of agony through his leg and bringing his blade down toward the wandering war's leading arm. War released that arm from the hilt of his weapon, shifting it around Talion's swing and opening his palm, sending a blast of blue-green fire toward Talion's chest. The flames never came close to touching him.
Fade, he commanded, and they obeyed.
Stepping forward, directly onto the harvester's trailing cloak, Talion pulled back his left hand and punched the harvester in the face. The impact was solid, but the harvester only laughed as he fell back.
Your attempts to use sophisticated combat techniques amuse me, but ultimately they are pointless. I am war. I am implacable. No amount of tactical acumen will allow you to harm me.
I think you're overstating yourself a bit. You're not war. You're just a mere sliver of it given life. And if you're alive, you can bleed.
To emphasize the point, Talion lashed out with a horizontal strike, while keeping the harvester's cloak pinned beneath his foot. The harvester shifted his own blade into a vertical position to parry, then retorted with an upward cut, slicing through the vambrace on Talion's right arm and grazing the flesh beneath. Something familiar burned within the cut, the mark of the blade's bonded dominion, but it was not a power he could reach for with his mind. Staggering back, Talion made another hasty attempt at a counterstrike with an upward diagonal cut, but the harvester knocked it to the side with a simple flick of his blade.
"You look unwell, swordsman. Does the poison take its toll upon you? I admit, I had hoped for our encounter to occur under more ideal conditions."
Poison? I didn't drink the water. Was that dagger he nicked me with earlier poisoned?
"I'm perfectly capable of finishing this." Talion grit his teeth, not feeling the confidence in his words.
"I need to create a window of opportunity. He's whittled me down too much for a straight fight."
"Don't you think you should take off that ridiculous cloak? I mean, not only must it be encumbering you, it makes battle a lot less personal if I can't see your face."
"Impersonal?"
The wandering war's voice sounded strained. He pressed his sword into the dirt in front of him, securing it in place.
"I see. Yes, you pose a salient point."
The wandering war reached for the clasp of his cloak. Talion charged. The wandering war took a step back at the move, which was exactly the reaction Talion had hoped for. His leg burned with every instant of motion, but the distance to close was short. He swung the Saycas with all his might, directly at the rune-etched blade anchored in the ground. Blue sparks ignited the air as the blades met, sending cinders of essence across Talion's arms. The flares burned, not with pain, but with refreshing warmth along his skin. His blow cast the other sword aside, sending it crashing along the dirt. In an instant, he closed the distance to the wandering war, setting his blade atop the harvester's shoulder. The wandering war continued his earlier motion, unclasping his cloak and tossing it free. Undeterred by the proximity of Talion's blade, he lifted away the veils covering his head, revealing his face. A face that looked perfectly human, save for his gleaming coppery skin and hair. A single red rune glowed brightly on the wandering war's forehead, and as Talion's blade pressed against the harvester's skin, Talion thought he could perceive essence flowing outward from the rune, though he could not sense where the trail went.
"Are you satisfied?"
The wandering war lifted a hand slowly, deliberately, and wrapped it around the edge of the Saycas. The weapon's destructive aura was barely visible, but it lapped at the harvester's fingers, cutting into his metallic skin. Inky blood flowed from these wounds. The harvester closed his eyes, taking in a deep breath.
"Your aura is strange. It is like my own, but more distant than I'd realized. What does it consist of?"
Talion itched to move, to cut closer against the harvester's neck, but the creature was unarmed now, and showing no immediate signs of hostility. He knew rationally that the wandering war could produce a deadly threat in an instant, more conjured blades, or perhaps summoning the rune weapon as he had before. But seeing the humanoid face had an unsettling effect on his psyche. He was reminded of the life he had taken, and his vow not to do so again. It had been easier when he had seen the wandering war as a mere monster within a shroud.
"I don't know. If you surrender, I will discuss this with you further."
"Surrender?"
The wandering war gave him an amused expression. "He, or she, looks so young. Younger than I am."
"We've only started our conversation. Why would I surrender now?"
The harvester kicked him in the chest. Talion flew backward further than the force of the kick should have carried him, realizing that motion sorcery was at work even as the attack moved him. His breastplate had caught most of the force of the blow, preventing it from doing any real harm, but as he recovered, the wandering war was retrieving his sword from where it had fallen.
"Really?"
the harvester said as he approached.
"You should have taken your opportunity to cut a bit deeper. Every graze that I survive, every parry that you make, every strike that I deflect, serves to give me strength. and though I sense you grow from our conflict as well, your form is frail and will not weather an extended assault.
Hard to tell how much of that is bluster and how much of it is literal truth, considering who or what I'm talking to.
I think I've learned enough to counterbalance these injuries.